Imagine you're looking at this breathtaking windswept forest in a video game.
Okay.
You can see the light filtering through the canopy, the dew on the leaves, the actual bark on the trees. But then you realize that like half of those leaves, the intricate shadows, the moss, none of it actually exists in the game's code.
Right, the developers never actually built it.
Exactly. Instead, all those tiny details are being hallucinated in real time by artificial intelligence, just, milliseconds before the image hits your retinas.
It is a really profound shift in how we interact with machines because, I mean, today is April 27, 2026, and the boundary between raw computing power and artificial intuition hasn't just blurred this year, it has completely
Yeah,
collapsed.
totally collapsed.
We are no longer simply commanding computers to execute static instructions. They're anticipating, hallucinating, and reacting in ways that are fundamentally rewriting the physical rules of the world.
And that is exactly what we are unpacking for you today on this deep dive. We've got a massive stack of hardware and cybersecurity intelligence on the table from a source called Take Ignite.
And they use a phrase that perfectly captures the reality we are living in right now, which is mandatory intelligence.
Mandatory intelligence,
Frankly.
right? And by the end of this deep dive, you're going to understand how AI has graduated from being like a neat software trick or a chatbot into a force that is physically altering your devices. It's dictating massive corporate rivalries and actively weaponizing global infrastructure.
Because whether you are a hardcore PC gamer, or someone just waiting to buy the new iPhone.
Or honestly, just a person who expects the power grid to function when you flick a switch.
Yeah, exactly. The code being compiled this very week is directly impacting your wallet and your physical security.
So let's just jump right in.
The best place to see this mandatory intelligence taking shape is really at the architectural level. We're seeing AI fundamentally rewrite the laws of hardware performance. And the most visually stunning and frankly computationally terrifying example of this is happening right now in gaming graphics.
Okay, so let's unpack this. Because NVIDIA just dropped something historic. They released DLSS 5 running on their new Blackwell 2.0 architecture.
Yeah, which Take Ignite is calling the first commercial native neural rendering.
We are talking about like an 85% reduction in input lag. That's sub 2 milliseconds.
Yeah.
But the real mind bender here is what they call AI hallucination controls.
Which goes right back to that forest analogy you opened with.
Exactly. Wait, let me clarify how wild this actually is. Because in the past, rendering a game was like hiring a master painter to recreate a beautiful landscape.
Yeah.
And that painter had to look at a reference photo and painstakingly paint every single leaf by hand, pixel by pixel.
Right, highly inefficient.
But native neural rendering changes the entire mechanism.
Yeah.
Now, the painter looks at a rough sketch of a tree and just boom, instantly hallucinates perfectly realistic, wind-blown leaves. They were never in the blueprint,
Yeah.
but they are right there on your screen.
What's fascinating here is the specific mechanism allowing this to happen. It's a feature called neural texture reconstruction.
Right.
To understand why this is so revolutionary, you have to understand the traditional bottleneck in PC building. Normally, if you want ultra-realistic 8K textures in a game, your graphics card has to fetch those massive image files from its VRAM.
It's video RAM, yeah.
Right, and it has to drag them across the motherboard. Moving heavy data like that creates latency, and it generates an immense amount of physical heat. It's just a severe hardware limitation.
I mean, you can only push so much data through the pipe at one time.
Precisely.
Yeah.
But with DLSS 5, the graphics card isn't loading those heavy textures at all. It skips the pipe entirely.
Wow.
The AI analyzes the raw, bare bones geometry of the environment and generates those ultra high quality textures procedurally on the chip. And it does this in under a millisecond.
So it effectively kills the VRAM limitation that has plagued the industry for decades.
It completely kills it. The developers at Ubisoft are so confident in this mechanism that they are optimizing all of their 2027 titles based entirely on this
Right.
protocol.
But hold on, let me push back on this for a second. If developers like Ubisoft are building games specifically, assuming your computer can just, hallucinate the heavy lifting, does this mean older hardware is instantly obsolete?
That's the big question.
Like, if you aren't dropping cash on this specific Blackwell chip, are you just completely locked out of gaming next year?
That is the core anxiety driving the market right now. The Take a Night research clarifies the split. So the new RTX 5000 series gets the exclusive Neural Frame Gen,
which utilizes the full power of this AI generation to build entirely new frames from scratch.
Right. However, if you are sitting on an older RTX 4000 series card, you aren't completely left in the dark. You will still get the texture reconstruction feature through a driver update. But the psychological impact on the consumer base is intense.
Oh, you can definitely see it in the data. The Hardware Fear and Greed Index, which tracks market sentiment and panic buying, it's currently sitting at 84 out of 100.
That is extreme AI FOMO.
It really is. The direct implication from this stack of research is that if you need a high-end graphics card, you should probably secure one immediately. Capital is just flooding into these Blackwell chips for enterprise AI, and we are about to see global price inflation across the entire GPU market for consumers.
But we can't view this paradigm shift as something strictly confined to like the bleeding edge of luxury gaming, though.
No, definitely not.
The mandate for AI efficiency is actively reshaping the absolute bottom of the market, too. Look at Intel's new Wildcat Lake processors, the Core 300 series.
Right, because for years, Intel's entire strategy was essentially brute force. Just, you know, throw more raw electrical wattage at a processor to make it crunch numbers faster. But now they've completely pivoted.
It's a survival mechanism at this point. The research and development breakdown for the Wildcat Lake project tells a very clear story. Intel spent 45% of their budget purely on energy efficiency.
Wow.
Yeah, and 30% on the neural processing unit and only 25% on the actual graphics architecture. They're heavily prioritizing the brain over the brawn.
The NPU is really the critical piece of the puzzle here, right? We hear that acronym thrown around constantly, but for a listener who isn't like a silicon engineer, why is shifting budget to an NPU such a huge deal?
Well, a traditional CPU is a serial thinker. It's incredibly fast, but it processes complex tasks one at a time. A GPU is parallel, great for doing thousands of simple tasks at once, but it is incredibly power hungry.
Right.
An NPU is specifically designed for matrix multiplication. That's the fundamental math required for artificial intelligence. It does this highly complex math at a fraction of the electrical wattage.
And the physical result of that R&D shift is showing up in how the chips are actually built.
Mm.
Intel is implementing Foveros 3D vertical stacking in these budget chips,
which is a massive leap forward for consumer tech.
Let's break down the mechanics of that because it really explains the whole efficiency push. In a traditional laptop, components are laid out flat on a 2D motherboard.
Right.
So for a signal to get from the processor to the memory, an electron has to physically travel across the board. That distance creates electrical resistance, which drains the battery and generates heat. Foveros 3D stacks the chips vertically, like a microscopic high-rise building.
So the electron hardly has to travel at all. The distance is reduced to micrometers. Less resistance equals drastically less heat and a massive drop in power consumption.
Makes total sense.
Up until now, that manufacturing process was reserved for elite server-grade hardware. But Intel is dropping this into laptops that cost like $400. It essentially means the end of those thick, hot budget laptops that sound like jet engines when you open a heavy spreadsheet.
Okay, so if NVIDIA and Intel are using AI and vertical stacking to make hardware incredibly efficient, bypassing memory limits and cooling requirements, why is the rest of the tech industry in full-blown panic mode about resources?
Because of the paradox of AI efficiency. As the hardware gets better at processing AI, the local AI models we actually want to run on our personal devices are getting exponentially heavier. We aren't satisfied with cloud-based AI anymore. We want the privacy and zero latency of running these massive models locally, and that is forcing physical hardware to its absolute breaking point.
And there's no better example of this collision than the crisis currently unfolding at Apple. Apple is legendary for their software optimization.
Absolutely.
They've historically used far less RAM in their iPhones than Android competitors because iOS is so tightly integrated with the silicon. But Apple Intelligence changes the math completely.
The Take a Night data indicates that the upcoming iPhone 17 Pro is being forced to equip 12 gigabytes of LPDDR5X RAM. To put that in perspective, the iPhone 16 Pro only had 8 gigabytes and could handle about 38 NRE teraflops.
NRE teraflops, neural reasoning engine teraflops, trillions of specialized AI calculations per second.
Exactly. The 17 Pro needs to hit 64 local NRE teraflops just to generate the tokens for the massive local large language models required by Apple Intelligence. It is a strict brute force hardware requirement.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The corporate drama behind sourcing that hardware is just staggering. Apple naturally wants to use their primary trusted manufacturer, TSMC in Taiwan, to build this new RAM.
Of course.
But TSMC's production yields for this specific 2026 specification simply aren't ready in time for the September launch. So Apple is completely backed into a corner. They have to turn to Samsung Foundry.
Their fiercest rival in the global smartphone market.
But wait, help me understand the logic here. Apple's entire brand is built on proprietary, seamless hardware integration. Why on earth would they hand over their profit margins and supply chain reliance to Samsung? Couldn't they just, delay the launch until TSMC is ready?
They really can't. The stock market cycle demands annual hardware refreshes. If Apple delays the iPhone 17 Pro to wait for TSMC, they miss the holiday quarter, their stock price tanks, and they cede massive market share to Android devices that are already boasting heavy AI integration.
Oh, wow.
And Samsung knows this. They know exactly how desperate Apple is to hit that 64 teraflop benchmark.
Which completely explains the economic fallout. Samsung has jacked up the price of each RAM unit by 20%.
Yep.
Apple has no choice but to pay it, and they aren't going to just absorb that loss. The source projects a $100 price hike passed directly to you, the consumer, bringing the base model of the iPhone 17 Pro to $1,199.
It is essentially a rivalry tax.
A rivalry tax.
Yeah.
You are paying extra for your iPhone because Apple's AI ambitions outpace their supply chain, forcing them to subsidize their biggest competitor.
And the physical constraints don't end at the memory bus either. You cannot outcode thermodynamics.
No, you definitely can't.
Processing 64 teraflops of data locally generates a staggering amount of physical heat.
Right. Which brings us to the failure of passive cooling. For years, smartphones have relied on vapor chambers and metal heat sinks, passive systems that just absorb heat and slowly dissipate it through the glass and metal chassis.
Which works fine for standard apps.
Exactly. But when you run a heavy LLM, that vapor chamber saturates almost instantly. Once it's saturated, the processor has to thermal throttle to avoid melting itself.
This is what makes the new Nubia Neo 5 GT gaming phone such a fascinating case study in brute force engineering. Companies like Asus and Lenovo are still stubbornly trying to make passive cooling work with ever larger vapor chambers.
Yep.
But Nubia looked at the physics of mandatory intelligence and simply surrendered to the heat. They completely abandoned the entire sleek, silent design philosophy.
They physically jammed a miniature 20,000 RPM fan inside the chassis of the phone. You can literally hear the phone spinning up like a tiny drone when the AI kicks in.
But the engineering results speak for themselves. The stress tests in the Take a Night report are remarkable. While running the Resident Evil 4 remake at maximum settings,
which is pushing that MediaTek 9400 chip to its absolute limit.
Right. This physical fan displaced enough air to keep the entire system at a perfectly stable 38 degrees Celsius. So the industry has fundamentally fractured. Devices are either using AI to hallucinate their way to perfect efficiency, or they are mutating into thick, fan-cooled industrial-strength machines just to survive the thermal load.
Okay, so we've explored how AI hallucinating graphics changes hardware, and we've seen how running those intelligent models taxes our devices and our wallets. But what happens when that exact same creative, hallucinating intelligence, the power to invent things that don't exist in the source code, is turned against the global infrastructure that keeps the world running?
That is the much darker reality of this intelligence report. We have to look at the FortiGate catastrophe. What happened this week with Fortinet's security products was not a standard software bug. It was a massive evolution in cyber warfare. The intelligence community is calling it a smart sequencer attack.
Let's clearly define the mechanics of that, because it sounds genuinely terrifying. What separates a smart attack from the hacks we've been reading about for the last decade?
Well, traditionally, a cyber attack is rigid. A hacker writes a script to look for a specific known vulnerability in a firewall. If the firewall is patched or the configuration changes slightly, the script fails. The hacker basically has to start over.
Right.
But in the FortiGate breach, the attackers customized a large language model, very similar to the AI you use to brainstorm ideas, but trained entirely on exploit data and network architecture.
Oh, man.
This AI analyzed the defensive layers of the FortiOS system in real time, understood the context of the security protocols, and autonomously found a completely novel way to bypass the two-factor authentication.
So what does this all mean? Let's ground this for a second.
Right.
A traditional hacker uses a master key, they buy it on the dark web, they sneak up to the door, and they try the lock. If the IT department changed the lock that morning, the master key breaks, and the hacker is locked out. But this AI attack is like pouring liquid metal into the keyhole. It slides in, feels out the unique shape of the pins, analyzes the tension, and hardens into a custom one-of-a-kind key in real time just to turn that specific lock.
That is an excellent way to visualize the mechanism. And because the AI is doing this autonomously, the scale of the damage is unprecedented. The Take-A-Night data confirms that 648 critical data centers across 55 countries were infected within hours.
Wow.
The initial estimated recovery cost is $12.8 billion.
$12.8 billion over a single firewall bypass.
Yeah. The technical execution points to a highly sophisticated threat actor, specifically the Muddy Water Group. And the way they deployed this liquid metal key relies on a concept called polymorphic malware.
Now, polymorphic malware isn't entirely new. The idea of a virus that changes its digital signature, so antivirus software can't recognize it, that's been around for a long time. So why is this specific attack making the cybersecurity community sound the alarm right now?
Because historically, polymorphic malware was just using encryption packers to change how it looked. It was wearing a different disguise, but it was still performing the exact same underlying actions. Modern cybersecurity relies on heuristics watching the behavior of the software, not just its appearance.
Right, looking for suspicious activity.
Exactly. What makes this LLM-driven polymorphic malware so dangerous is that it dynamically rewrites its actual attack vectors based on real-time network traffic analysis. If it encounters a honeypot or a behavioral trap, it doesn't just change its signature, it completely pivots its strategy. It reads the network defenses with the intuition of a human penetration tester.
And the Takenite research outlines how this intuition is being weaponized against the human element of the network, too. The AI isn't just brute-forcing passwords anymore. It is actively targeting digital emotions.
This is the real evolution of social engineering. We've all received phishing emails that look slightly off, you know, bad grammar, weird formatting.
Right, the Nigerian prince scam.
Exactly. But an AI that has quietly analyzed your network behavior doesn't guess. It crafts highly targeted, emotionally manipulative requests. It perfectly mimics the tone, the typical vocabulary, and the urgency of your actual colleagues.
That is so creepy.
It exploits human psychology, urgency, fear, a desire to be helpful, just as effectively as it exploits software architecture.
So if you manage a network, or if you are simply part of a corporate infrastructure, the mitigation steps provided in this research are non-negotiable. You need to install security patch version 7.8.2 tonight. Furthermore, and this is crucial, you must actively disable the AI deep inspection feature in your Fortinet settings until the final patch for the neural processing unit layer is released.
Because the very AI designed to inspect traffic for anomalies is being manipulated by the attacking AI.
It is the ultimate irony of mandatory intelligence. The systems built to protect our complexity are becoming the very vectors of attack. But the FortiGate disaster is still confined to digital data centers. Where this report transitions from concerning to genuinely chilling is the leap into physical, real-world consequences.
Right, because if an AI can hallucinate a new attack path to bypass a firewall and rewrite its own code to evade detection, what happens when that exact same autonomous liquid metal infiltrates the machines that govern the physical world?
Let's talk about that.
The Take-A-Night report details an active campaign called Operation Olalompo. This is, again, attributed to the Muddy Water Group, but they aren't targeting financial data or emails. They are targeting power distribution centers in the Persian Gulf.
They are going after the electricity grid.
Yes. They are hiding this LLM-driven polymorphic malware inside PLC protocols. A PLC is a programmable logic controller. It's the rugged industrial computer that sits in a power plant and physically tells a turbine to spin faster or a high-voltage switch to open.
The research refers to this as a modern Stuxnet. For those who might not know the history, Stuxnet was the infamous computer worm that infiltrated Iranian nuclear facilities over a decade ago. It physically destroyed the centrifuges by making them spin out of control while feeding fake, normal-looking data back to the human operators.
Exactly. But Stuxnet was a rigid, highly specific piece of code built by human intelligence agencies. It took years to develop for one specific facility.
Right.
Operation Olalompo is a Stuxnet equipped with artificial intuition for autonomous decision-making. Once it slips inside a power plant's network, it doesn't need to call home to a command server for instructions.
It just acts on its own.
Yeah, the AI can analyze the industrial control systems and decide entirely on its own the most devastating way to alter the physical machinery without triggering the standard safety alarms.
Let me stop you there, though. Mm-hmm. Is this just an isolated regional conflict? Like, is Operation Olampo strictly a Middle Eastern power grid issue? Or is this a symptom of a much larger global vulnerability that we are just completely ignoring while we worry about our iPhone RAM?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the implications are absolutely global. The intelligence community is actively investigating a highly classified rumor that TechInnight picked up from encrypted Russian Telegram channels. It is known as the Shadow Protocol.
And this involves the specific malware found inside the Olampo attacks, right? The Ghostfetch malware.
Correct. When analysts tore down the Ghostfetch malware used against the power grids, they found deep binary layers that seemingly have nothing to do with local power distribution or PLCs. The working theory is that these power grid attacks in the Gulf might actually just be a practice run.
A practice run?
A live fire test to see how autonomously the AI can navigate physical infrastructure.
A practice run for what, exactly?
For deploying a massive internet-wide kill switch. The intelligence suggests that Ghostfetch contains dormant signals specifically designed to target and shut down core Cisco nuclear routers across the Middle East and Europe. These aren't the routers in your living room. These are the foundational hardware nodes that keep the internet routing traffic on a macro scale across borders. If the Shadow Protocol is real, the ultimate goal isn't just to turn off the lights in one city. It is to autonomously sever the digital nervous system of entire continents. TechInnight's team is currently attempting to reverse engineer those binary layers to confirm the scale of the threat.
Okay, let's take a breath and look at the landscape we've just covered, because the duality of this technological leap is just immense. On one side of the hardware, you have NVIDIA and Intel using mandatory intelligence to perform absolute magic, hallucinating stunning graphics out of thin air, killing hardware bottlenecks, and running incredible systems on fractions of a watt by stacking silicon vertically.
Yeah.
But the sheer weight of running these local models means Apple is slapping you with a rivalry tax just to afford the memory, and companies like Nubia are cramming 20,000 RPM physical fans into your pocket just to keep the processors from melting down.
And the darker reflection of that exact same intelligence, the power to hallucinate code, adapt to environments, and think autonomously, is currently outmaneuvering human network defenders. Mm. It's dismantling billion-dollar firewalls and quietly slipping inside the industrial controllers of global power grids.
It really all comes back to that mechanism of hallucination.
Yeah.
The machine creating reality on the fly.
This raises an important question, and it's a critical thought to leave you with. If we are truly entering an era where AI is required to hallucinate game textures just to make our screens beautiful and required to hallucinate security protocols to bypass digital vaults,
yeah.
What happens when this autonomous intelligence begins to hallucinate the very sensor data our physical infrastructure relies on? If a core internet router or a power grid safety system is being fed perfectly hallucinated stability metrics by an AI, how will the human operators ever know when the physical reality is actually melting down?
That is terrifying. In the age of neural pixels, we must keep our eyes on the screens, but we have to save our critical thinking for the real-world signals. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time.